Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm excited tonight. I preached last Sunday in Henderson, and the Holy Spirit came by, and I got to shouting before I ever went up to the pulpit. And my wife told me just before we come into church tonight, she said, I don't want you moving from side to side like you did last Sunday. She said, my head and my neck got so tired, I was wound up. I hope I get wound up tonight. I hope she fusses me all the way home about walking from one end of the church to the other. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, please. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for that sweet, sweet spirit, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for the music tonight, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I thank you even more for the Word of God. Lord, Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you gave me this message, Heavenly Father. Lord, we didn't get it all put together until about 10 to 5 this afternoon. But Lord, that's okay. Lord, I have a message. Lord, I have the Holy Spirit within me. And Lord, I just ask that, Lord, you reach and touch people tonight, Heavenly Father. Lord, touch them like they've never been touched before, Lord. I believe we can pray for things like that and ask for things like that because, Lord, I know you want us to go from this level to the next level, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, if there's one person here tonight, Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, well, then, Lord, let something be said tonight that the Holy Spirit can touch their hearts and, Lord, with love and conviction, bring them to an understanding and to a heart knowledge of what Jesus can do for them, Lord. God, again, we just thank you and we love you. In the precious name of Christ we pray, amen. Anybody here like to go to funerals? Oh, my goodness. Okay. I had this friend, and she was dying. She's on her deathbed. She died just a couple days after she told me this. She said, you know, it's funny. Now, this woman's laying on her deathbed, and she said, you know, it's funny. And I'm thinking, Lord, has she lost her mind? She says, it's funny. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And I thought, wow, that is so true. One Wednesday night, I said, at some point in time, you're going to hear that Daryl Mincer died. And I said, I don't want you to believe that. Because on that day, I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my life. Because I will be, listen, I will be with the King of Glory. I will be with Jesus Christ. And I will be waiting for the eastern sky to split. I'll be waiting for my glorified body. So let me tell you, death is not all it's cracked up to be. Amen? Oh, come on. Are you living like heaven is real? Now, come on now. Are you living life like heaven is real? As a Christian, is it not your goal in life to reach heaven? Come on. Isn't that what you're striving for? To keep the faith, to fight the good fight? Personally, when a fruitful Christian dies in the Lord, I can celebrate the completion of that life. And when I mean celebrate, I'm talking celebrate. It has been my privilege to be in funerals where people were standing, they were clapping their hands, they were shouting, they were just beyond themselves because a loved one had made it home. Think about that. A loved one had made it home. They no longer have to put up with what's in this world. And you know, I may have told this, but I'm going to tell it again. I preached a lot of funerals. Early in my ministry, I preached my daddy's funeral. I preached one of my best friend's funerals. I preached all kinds of funerals. John, some of those people that went on to be with the Lord, I really grieved. I really miss them to this day. But you know what? There was part of my heart that was filled with joy, that was part of my heart. I was excited because it made it in. Let's have our first scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. Paul is writing here and he says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us a spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good courage. So we are always of good courage. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Let me ask you tonight, are you of good courage? I want you to know the blood washed. We're assured by faith in the Word of God that there is another life after death. A better life. I told someone the other day, we were talking about our health, and he was a little more sickly than I was. And I said, "But we have a better life. The best is yet to come." Somehow we have lost that mindset. Somehow, some way, we have forgotten that the best is yet to come. God, listen, God is too rich. God is too great just to have this to be the best on earth. He has something greater planned for us. And we'll have a new body. I love that part, I really do. It's not like our current body. Did you know as I'm speaking, our bodies are decaying? Think about that. As I'm speaking, our bodies are decaying. What we're going to get is an upgraded version. Woo! An upgraded version. You know, our body down here struggles. Our bodies down here have a burden upon us. Realize this body of flesh is often stressed to the max. We carry around burdens. I want you to consider the constant war that rages between the flesh and the spirit. Consider the storms of life that confront us, the diseases that attack us, the result of living in a fallen world. All of that create a heavy burden. Is it any wonder that Paul groaned being burdened with his body of flesh? Knowing, and I mean like really knowing, like we know that the sun rises where? In the east and sets in the west. Knowing that when this body of flesh is discarded, our souls shall be covered with a garment of praise, a robe of righteousness, glory. I don't know if that excites you, but I'm telling you, at my age, that really excites me. Knowing that when this body is laid down, laid aside, woo, I don't have to worry about nothing no more. Oh. Scripture declares, in our Father's house are many mansions. The redeemed, the blood washed, will have an everlasting dwelling prepared by God Himself. Think about this. God is with us here on this earth. Through the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Word, God is with us. Yet we long for something better. Something everlasting. Don't we? I want to pause right there. Do you ever think about going home? You ever think about leaving this world and being with Jesus all the time? Somehow, some way, the devil has convinced us, well, Heaven is just an abstract thing. Folks, let me tell you, heaven is as real as this chair. Heaven is as real as anything that you know about. Philippians 3 and 20 states, but our citizenship is in heaven. Loved ones, we're just traveling through this world. I mean, we're just passing through. This world can be defined as a place of preparation. A place where we walk by faith and not by sight. For faith is for this world and sight is for our future home. And until we get home, it's in our best interest to walk by faith. Amen? For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, God in all of his wonder and amazement promises. Don't you love when God promises something? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Plus, at the appointed time, our present body will be laid aside. Anybody have any trouble with that? You know, I've talked to men that think they're bulletproof. I mean, literally thought they were bulletproof. I've talked to people that they thought, oh, I'm so special. I'm going to live forever. There's some people that have a problem with the reality that when we're born to die. That's just the way it is. That's the way God designed it. Our soul will be clothed with our forever body. I wrote that down and I thought, boy, I like that. Our forever body. And then I wrote this down. Jesus will transform our lowly body like unto his glorious body. And I like that even more. After all that Paul had endured, is it any wonder that he longed to leave this world and be with Jesus? Anybody in here ever ask God, just take me home? Now, heaven's better, right? Come on, Jace, help me out here, man. Is heaven better than what we got down here? I was going to go somewhere with that, but I'll just leave it, let you think about it. Paul had a personal, intimate, loving relationship with the King of Glory. I mean, Paul was so hooked up. He wrote, he longed to leave this world and be with Jesus. You know, as you was preaching this morning, John, I got to thinking about what you was preaching and why so many churches are not on fire for God, why so many people are not out trying to get the lost saved. They ain't got the right connection. Hello? Most of you don't have any idea how glad I am to see you tonight. I'm serious about that. I'm thrilled for every one of you that's here tonight. But we have so many that are simply putting in time. Simply putting in time, waiting for Jesus to come back or waiting for them to die. How many of you love spending time with the King? Yeah. All the time? Some of the time? Or when you need something, time? Hello? Come on now. You know it couldn't be all happy and shouting. How much time do we really spend with Jesus through the week? We say we love Jesus and we like to be in his presence. We like to feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. But how many times do we make ourselves available Monday through Saturday? How many times do we set aside time just to read the Word? Just to have a quiet time with the Lord? You know what I like about quiet times? That's most of the time when he speaks to me. When I'm still, and I'm wanting to hear from him. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 and 1 that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that God was sovereign. In other words, God is in charge. God is in control. God has established the ways in which we should live and walk. And I guess I should share this with you. I think all of you are mature enough. His ways are not up for debate. Neither do we get to pick and choose what we like. And I really don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But honestly, God is really not concerned with our opinion. He's not. For he is God and we are not. I want you to think about that now. Anybody read the book of Job lately? In Job 38 and 4 we find, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Verse 5, "Who determined its measurements?" God says, surely you know, Job. You've been running your lip. Surely you know what's going on. Hey, for two chapters, all Job can do is just stand there with his head down. In chapter 40, verse 8, God said to Job, "Will you put me in the wrong?" Somebody listen very carefully, please. "Will you condemn me that you may be in the right?" Loved one, God is talking to somebody because he took me from talking about heaven to the sovereignty of God, took me to the book of Job, and all the time I'm saying, God, I don't want to chase no rabbits. God, what am I doing here? So I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wanted to get somebody's attention tonight. I don't know who, but I hope you've been listening. Now, let's go back to heaven. Revelations 21, 3 and 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." I don't know about you, but it sounds like a place I'd like. Amen? Remember, this is what God is preparing us for. Is this what you're looking forward to? Hello? Are you really looking forward to heaven? Or does this world have a gorilla grip on you? Are you so attracted, so attached to this world that you can't be who God wants you to be? That you can't do what God wants you to do while you're on this earth? Y'all can shout me down at any time, okay? If you start shouting, start praising the Lord, I'll just quit preaching until you get done. In Romans 8 and 18, Scripture refers to our light afflictions. In other words, the suffering that takes place while we're on this earth. If we could only understand that our momentary afflictions, though heavy and heart-wrenching at times, are insignificant when compared to what awaits the believer. Understand, God is not making light of our afflictions. He's not. But he's wanting us to understand how great and grand and glorious heaven will be. When God takes something that is so heart-wrenching at times that we cry and we cry out and we're next to being devastated. When God takes that and says, hey, that's nothing compared to what awaits the believer. Wow. Just, you know, does anybody ever think about walking around with Jesus all the time? Come on now. Do you ever get the mindset what it would be like to have no heartache, no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no cancer, no trouble with the kids, your wife acting okay? Come on. And to be in the presence of the King, and not have any temptations, nothing to interrupt our fellowship? Wow. Think about this. Well, let's go to Hebrews 9 and 27 first. I need to get off of that and go to something else. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes a judgment. Anybody fear God? Boy, I hope so. Someone once said we should patiently wait for death and then quietly submit to it. At the appointed time, our life and works on earth will come to an end. And then the judgment. Let's go to Daniel 4 and 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Did everybody catch that? And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Say with me, God. Oh, please. God. Oh, come on. Work your mouth for me, pretty please. God is sovereign. Matthew 20 and 15 states, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? The biblical teaching on sovereignty of God refutes any idea of blind chance or fate controlling events. Therefore, no one dies before their time. How many of you have said at some point in time, well, they died before their time. They were too young to die. I remember preaching a funeral of a six-year-old child that had died of cancer. I met this child when our grandson was in Corsairs. You know, Jessica, there's some things I just don't understand. I just really don't. That funeral was in Hopkinsville. It was probably about 15 degrees that day, wind blowing, a little skift of snow. And there was me and the daddy and just a handful of other people for a six-year-old child. But you see, God is in control. He knows what to do, when to do, and how to do. And I have no business questioning him. Now, have I questioned God before? Sure, I have. I've lived enough life. I've had enough bad things to happen that there's times that I simply, God, why are you doing this? What's going on here? Neither can anyone live beyond their time. Death is not some haphazard affair. Death is not an accident. Death is the result of an appointment made by God. And every person in here, God is, before we were born, he knew when we were going to die and what we were going to die of. No one escapes. No exceptions are given because of youth, because of intelligence, of strength, or anything else. No exceptions are given. From the evil one on death row, to the righteous one in church, to the rich person, the poor person, from the stranger to the family member that we love with all of our heart, every one of us are under the sentence of physical death. However, the child of the king will not suffer the second death. Not too long ago, I heard a preacher say, if you're born once, you'll die twice. Think about that. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. For the blood washed, death can overcome us but once. In addition, we have this wonderful, great, amazing assurance for those who die in the Lord, leave this world for a place where death in any form as unknown. And since we all must die, surely it makes sense to be prepared. Let me ask you, are you prepared to die? Everybody remember September the 11th? I want you to realize there's been a lot of things in my life that there's been moments where God's literally grabbed my attention. September the 11th was one of them. Did you know on that day that almost 3,000 people left this world? I think it was like 2,900 or something. Do you know that when they got up that morning, they didn't think, hey, this is going to be the day I die. It was a complete and total surprise for those people. Personally, I'm glad I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm trusting God with that. But I wonder, out of that almost 3,000 people, in the vicinity where it happened, I wonder how many were prepared. Because we only have two choices when we die. We either go to heaven or we go to hell. I wonder how many were prepared to meet their Maker. Let me ask you something. Are you saved? No, I'm talking really saved. Are you doing the will of God? I said, well, why are you throwing that in there? Well, in Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus declared, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In my years as a minister, I have seen untold numbers of people profess Jesus Christ. Something happened. And they will use that happening, that upsetting moment, that hurtful moment, to quit doing the will of God. Just zip. Sometimes they'll stay in church and disturb the church. They'll break the unity by staying in church. Other times, they'll just abandon God. They'll just leave the church and then blame people for their lifestyle. Is Jesus your Savior? I've asked you, you were saved. Is he Lord of your life? Did you know there's a difference between being saved and Jesus being the Lord of your life? Let me ask you this question. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die before you get home, that you'd go to heaven? And that's a yes or a no. There's no maybes allowed. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you take your last breath, when your heart pumps its last beat, you'll go to heaven. Well, folks, if you're here tonight and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, what in the world is keeping you from having that assurance? Is it pride? Is it not willing to change your lifestyle? Well, if everybody's good to go, and I don't know that for a fact, but let's just say you're good to go. Do your neighbors know that? Do those people in your personal harvest field, those people that God has placed around you to witness to, do they know that? Do they know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? First Corinthians 15, 55, and 57 cries out to the believer, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For it no longer has the power to destroy us. For Christ has risen. I can remember when I first started preaching, I could say something like, and Christ has risen. There'd be a little splattering of, Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. And I'd say, Christ has risen. And people would begin to get to their feet. They were excited about Christ rising from the grave. The grave could not hold him. Death could not hold him. There was nothing that could keep our Savior in the grave. And maybe it's just because I'm old, I don't know, but I still get excited about that. Knowing that Jesus, knowing that nothing could hold him. And Jim, knowing that he's given me the same spirit, knowing that I'm going to be resurrected someday, knowing, I mean really knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing that Christ has risen. You talk about a hope, you talk about a promise, you talk about something that goes beyond this world. And all who put their trust in him have this hope, this promise, this guarantee that death and the grave is no longer to be feared. For they have been swallowed up in victory. The last enemy has been destroyed through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last question. Are we truly living life like Christ has risen? Do a self-examination. As John would say, be honest. Are you really living life like Christ has risen from the grave? If not, why not? It's available. I probably need to mention I've preached a lot of funerals where the people were lost. I've preached a lot of funerals of alcoholics, drug addicts, thieves, murderers. Put yourself in the pastor's, the minister's position. What do you tell those people? What do you say to them to give them comfort, to give them hope? What in the Word of God can you say that will ease the pain that they're experiencing? Folks, there is nothing. But if you're saved, oh my goodness, you have a hope. If you don't have that hope tonight, please come up here. Please fall up on your knees. Please cry out to Jesus Christ and be filled with power and hope. Be a joint heir of Christ. Please. Let us pray. Could you please stand? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this moment tonight. Lord, that people have heard the Word of God. Lord, they've heard the marvelous and grand promises that you've made to us. Lord, the hope that we can have. Lord, the joy that we can have, the love, the power that we can have, Heavenly Father. But we must humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that needs to do that, Lord, I just beg of you, send the Holy Spirit by them, Heavenly Father. Lord, touch their hearts and their minds. Lord, bring them up here to an altar of salvation, and we'll be eternally grateful, God. And once again, Lord, we just thank you for loving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.